Saturday morning, right. You're ready to get working.
Here we go.
That's right. You're tuned in to Lou.
Yes, I was just wondering, this Mr. I'll come over and help scrape, prime, and paint your wrought iron railing?
And how smart's radio?
No, that's coming up later on.
He may not be knocking on your door anytime soon, you know, social distancing, but he sure will help you now over these radio airwaves.
What time are you going to be here?
All you have to do is call. Here's your host, Lou Manfredini, and How Smart's Radio.
Hey, get a rhythm. When you get the blues, come on, get a rhythm.
Good morning.
When you get the blues.
It's Lou Manfredini. This is How Smart's Radio. Our phone number is 877-213-4LOU, 877-213-4568. How may I help you on this Saturday morning in April? All you got to do is pick up the phone and give us a call. That's our text line, too. We'll do our text call a little bit later on this morning. Good morning to Lindsay.
Good morning to you.
How are you? Waiting on your coffee, which will make your life so much better in
just a
couple minutes. And good morning to Don. Good morning to Joe. And just a quick wrap up, because we haven't been together since the national championship, of our House Smarts Radio bracket buster. Who was the winner?
Well, that would go to our good old friend Don. Congratulations.
Congratulations, Don.
Thanks, everybody.
Trophy gods are shining down on Dandy Don.
Yes, just a little bit of sunshine.
Can we continue?
Listen to Joe. Joe, wait. Go ahead, Joe.
All I was going to ask is if we could continue our tradition of not actually giving the winner anything, even though we set together all the tournament.
Of course, because that would be gambling and would be illegal.
Did we do that? Oh, of course.
Yeah, the previous two times that I've won, you know, we never ended up getting anything.
Oh, here we go. It goes back to Joe. It goes back to Joe because he got nothing.
Oh,
well, the problem was last year, I think, you know, last year there wasn't anything.
Right.
Right, so that's my excuse. And the year before that, I was worried there was going to be a pandemic, and so we couldn't go out to dinner. What if there was a pandemic?
I won the Kentucky Derby. I don't know if anyone remembers that, and I kept all the winnings.
Nice.
You did? Your big hat with your fake flowers?
That's right.
I thought you meant you, raced it, and you won.
Ah, no.
One day.
Well, congratulations. And then for those of you listening, if you want to, Joe, what's your, you're on the Twitter, aren't you, Joe?
I am on the Twitter. It's @Joe_Brand1.
There might be a highlight there of Joe Brand, who calls a college softball game?
Yeah, it was UIC softball.
Lindsay, you missed this, but Joe's in the stands with his Tom Selleck mustache. Do you still have the Tom Selleck mustache?
No, I chickened out. I shaved it earlier this week.
Okay. Well, he looked like he was doing one of those reverse mortgage commercials, like Tom Selleck, the younger version of Tom Selleck. I'm Tom Selleck, and you should get a reverse mortgage. Anyway, there was a pop fly. Joe's in the stands. He catches the ball one-handed while broadcasting.
No. I've got to go look at this.
It's quite impressive. And
that's amazing.
And the best part about it is he's Joe Brand cool. He just sort of, he's there going, it's a pop-up, and he just reaches his hand out like someone's handing him an ice cream cone.
I mean, I'll say this. I was sitting down. The ball was coming to my dominant hand. I stuck it out, and I caught it. I didn't reinvent the wheel. I didn't discover fire, but I do feel pretty cool about it.
Are you, Joe, were you a baseball player?
I wish. I was terrible. No. I wanted to be so bad, but I was so bad.
I think I told the story. I was at a ball game once with a really good friend of mine who lives in Denver now, and he's a huge fan, and I scored these really nice seats. We were literally right behind the, you know, foul line wall. You know, it was just great. And he brings his mitt. We're adults. I mean, we're probably we have little kids. And so I'm there, and I said, Kevin, I go, look, I know you love baseball. So, you know, if there's a pop-up or something or a foul ball, I'll just get out of the way and let you catch it. And he goes, don't worry. If there's a foul ball, I am shoving you to the ground. There was not one, but had there been, I would have been injured.
I thought you were going to say, I'm not walking in with a grown adult holding a glove.
No. I have no problem with that. And I love that whole thing. What are you looking at?
Well, it's all making sense now. When Joe, you sent that the Twitter link to us on our text string that we have all going.
Yeah.
and I didn't click on it. Yeah. I just thought that you were saying that you were cool, Joe.
He is cool, Joe. Joe
cool. I feel cool is something cool people say. Yeah. And I was like, oh, well, Joe must be feeling very good about himself, proud about himself today. I didn't click on the link, but I get it now. That's amazing.
Typical millennial, just reading the headline.
Just
and then
reading the headlines. Don't read the story. Oh, yeah. Tell her she ordered her coffee via DoorDash, too. By the way, this hour of House Smarts Read is also sponsored by our friends over at Houseworks Daylight Solutions. And our first call this morning is sponsored by bathfitter.com/Lou. Let's get to a quick phone call here and talk with Tom, who's on the line. Tom, good morning. You're on House Smarts Radio.
Good morning, Mr. Manfredi. How are you this morning?
I'm good. What's going on, Tom?
Hey, my wife and I are having our bathroom gutted and remodeled, and I just wanted to know if you know of a good bathroom remodeler at a reasonable price that we could go to.
Well, your first phone call is sponsored by the folks at Bathfitter. They do offer whole bathroom remodeling too, and or the surrounds if you wanted to. That would certainly be a source. I tell you that probably one of my, when it comes to bathrooms, the Nary website, and I've talked about this quite a bit, they have these certified remodelers when it comes to bathrooms and kitchens. And if you go to Nary.org, NARI.org, you can plug in your zip code, and a bunch of these certified remodelers will come up, and that will be a great source for you to get some contractors, local contractors, to come out and do some work in your area. They're really good, quality people that can do a really, really nice job. Thanks so much for the phone call. I want to cruise on over here and talk real quick. This is Ralph calling in from New Jersey. Hey, Ralph, you're on House Smarts Radio.
Hi, good morning, Lou. Love your program. I listen every Saturday.
Thank you. What's going on?
I had a question. I'm considering redoing the siding on my home. It's a vinyl siding. And I just had some questions. Is there a certain thickness for the siding and the insulation that I should be looking for?
How old is your house?
The siding, I believe, was done about 15 years ago.
No. The house itself.
1969.
Okay. All right. So a couple things. The insulation, if you're going to have them wrap insulate. Now, when you do the siding, are you also going to do anything with windows?
No.
Okay. But maybe you're going to cap them, or you're just going to side around them, or they're already capped. What do you have now?
They're already capped.
They're already capped. Okay. So with the siding, with the insulation, it's marginal from the benefit you're going to get from a piece of quarter-inch insulation. So in other words, if the siding contractor comes and says, hey, Ralph, look, we'll do the siding for, I'm going to make up a number, 20 grand, okay, 15 grand. And if you want to do, the insulation, it's going to be another $800, or the insulation is $800, right? And I would rather you spend the $800 somewhere else, because it's not that huge of a benefit, and maybe building wrap, or if there is a window that you needed to replace, like, boy, this one window we could do, and that costs $1,000. Again, I'm making the numbers up, but that would be a better use of your money. As far as the mill of the siding itself, you're looking something at something like a 3 mil. You know, the smaller the number, the thicker is where you're going. Masco is probably the name in vinyl siding. So if they're talking about siding and they're telling you we're going to use Masco or we're going to use CertainTeed, which makes a really good vinyl siding, those would be ones within those color palettes, if you'd be interested in buying, those styles, would be the way to go.
Okay. And is there a general rule of per square foot to try to figure out, you know, how much pricing would be?
It's not really like roofing, because, you know, it all depends on the number of openings and whatnot, you know, because openings drag stuff out. But, I mean, to re-side an entire home, what do you got, is it a two-story home?
Yes.
You're going to spend 15, 20 grand all in.
Okay. And but, I was considering doing the lower level and maybe like a brick kind of work or something like that.
Oh, that's a, you know what? If you listen later on today, I'm actually talking with somebody that's from a company that makes those products that you could do the lower level on with stone to kind of ground the house a little bit. It looks really nice. That, of course, adds a lot of cost, but it looks really nice. And if you're looking to change the whole look of your house, I highly, highly recommend it. All right. How about I do this? We'll start with that reader that you talked about. But so Fergie, you stay with me. But right now, you're listening to House Smarts Radio. We need to take a quick break, and we'll be back right after this.
Now back to your favorite fixer upper guy, Lou Manfredini, and House Smarts Radio.
Good morning, 877-213-4-LOU, 877-213-4568. This is Ted, who's calling in from Forest Hills. Hey, Ted.
Oh, thank you very much. Somebody said reboot your ego. That's the funniest thing I ever heard. I'm going to crack up after the show.
What's going on, sir?
Lou, could you just briefly mention how you got your training? Because no one ever asks a question that you don't know. I would never try to gotcha question. No. Well, you're a gentleman.
Listen to me. First of all, I do not know everything. And my training was, I've been in the trades since I was, I started working in a hardware store as a teenager. I grew up in my father's Texaco station, so I really worked on cars when I was little. And then I started working in a hardware store. I became a welder at the early age of 18 years old, 19 years old, and I was doing basement steel and making wrought iron railings for homes. And then I became a carpenter's apprentice, and my trade was carpentry. My buddy and I, Mike Jakubowski, started our construction company in the late 80s, and we were remodeling contractors doing everything from soup to nuts. So we were of that generation. We're like, oh yeah, we can do that. And we learned a lot on the fly, but we had carpentry. Both of us were carpenters by trade, which, you know, any carpenter will tell you, you know, that's the premier, trade. Now, the plumbers and the electricians don't like that, but anyway. So I evolved into a home builder and was building new construction homes in the 90s, early 2000s, and launched this little radio career back in the mid-90s. And I'm someone that really enjoys this topic. So it's the type of thing that now I read a lot about it. I'm still exposed to a lot of contractors. I've been blessed during my career to work with really good contractors. I joke about the plumbers and the electricians, but I've worked with some really terrific tacticians and technicians, and I asked a lot of questions. And for some reason, I'm able to remember a bunch of this stuff and help people like you.
Ah, superb. Thank you so much. I just wanted to mention the doors in my house are all off the hinges.
Listen, I don't know anything. I'm sorry, but I don't know anything about doors. Thank you for calling. No, I'm kidding. Okay, so what?
Oh, yeah.
Go ahead.
Oh.
But you can
fly a 747, I bet you.
If I had to. Yeah. All right, what's up with your doors?
They're off the hinges. I mean, they're just not off. They're off the hinges. They're laying against the wall, you know, and they're not attached.
Meaning that they're unscrewing. In other words, they're not staying connected to the jam.
Yes.
Okay.
That's right.
Right. So, typically, interior doors. How old is the home?
Well, it was in 1950, but it was redone in like 4 years ago. We should have left the doors on from 1950 because they were solid.
I see. Okay. All right. Yeah. So those hinges, those screws on those current hinges are either a number 8 or a number 9. Okay. So if you go to the hardware store, depending on the finish of the door, so if it's brass hinges or brushed nickel, whatever it is, ask them to give you you take one of the screws out and go to the hardware store, get the right size. So it's, again, it's in either a number 8 or a number 9. Number 8s are hard to find, but number 9s are plentiful. And I want you to buy a 2.5-inch long screw in the same diameter. That's that number 8 or number 9. Then on each one of those hinges, I want you to remove one of the short little screws that's just inside the jamb and go through the jamb with the that larger screw. So you'll go through the jamb into the framing to hold the door in place. And this will also allow you, Ted, to, you know, because when the door's loose like that, you know, it's tilted, it's canted a little bit, and it'll help you straighten that out. So you may want to have a little level available to make sure that you're not over-tightening it and so that the door, you know, swings freely open and closed.
Okay, I'm taking down everything you said. Yeah,
all right.
Yeah, I appreciate. Okay.
Does that make
sense? Thank you so much for your courtesy.
You're
yes,
good.
Yes, it certainly does.
You're a good man, yeah. Charlie Brown. Have a good day.
May I say, God bless you. God is blessed.
Thank you very much. I'll take it. Believe me. 877-213-4-LOU. This is Rich in Northfield. Hey, Rich, good morning. You're on House Smarts Radio.
Good morning, Lou. How are you?
Doing well. What's going on, sir?
Good. Hey, I got a question for you. I'm a superintendent for a home builder in Glenview, and I do all the warranty work for the homes after they've been sold. And I get a couple questions once in a while as to at what temperature can you start using your air conditioner? I have some people that have called me up that want to turn it on when it's 50, 55 degrees out. For whatever reason, they don't want to open their windows. So the question is, at what's the safe temperature that you can start using your air conditioning?
You can use it at any temperature. The biggest issue is what's the benefit to it, right? If it's 50 degrees, I mean, why do we want to pay the energy to cool the house, or really, what are we setting it to? I mean, you can't set an air conditioner to 50 degrees, right? That's too low. So, I mean, think about this.
I think the reason is that they have allergies and,
sure,
you know, they want to cool the house down and don't open the windows.
Yeah.
But, you know, and the other thing is that to calibrate the air conditioner to get ready for summer.
If a HVAC contractor's coming to your house to do all this and they typically want temperatures around 70 degrees so that they can fill, and that has to do more with the temperature of the refrigerant going into the unit so that you put enough refrigerant in because it expands and contracts. And so what happens when it's cold, you do get your contraction inside there and you do run the risk of freezing up a core or something like that inside of the AC unit, or even the A coil inside the furnace can freeze up because if it's too cold and the refrigerant is constricted, that's where the problem occurs. I mean, as a rule of thumb, maybe talk to the people and say, look, if it's below 60 degrees, you really shouldn't be running your AC. And that's probably a fair number that even with they have allergies at 60 degrees, I understand that could be problematic, but they could just turn the fan on and circulate the air because it's still cool outside, right? So, I mean, that you can benefit by circulating through the system, but not actually running the compressor. So I would use the 60 degrees as a placeholder for everybody. Thanks so much for calling in. I appreciate it. 877-213-4-LOU, 877-213-4568 is the phone number. We need to take a quick break, and we'll be back right after this.
This is a house that Jack built, y'all.
Now back to Lou Manfredini.
Remember this house.
Taking your calls right here on House Smarts Radio.
That it worked by hand. Yeah. It was the dream of an upright
877-213-4-LOU. Aretha,
huh? That I was proud of. This is the life that he planned. On the love, the same old love. In the house that Jack built.
The house that Jack built.
So, you know, these farm stories, I guess I haven't done a very good job of talking about the fact that these have been... what I wanted to do was, I know that we've got a lot of farmers that listen early in the morning. They may be out in the fields right now. There's a lot of planting going on. And I just want to make sure that we're... there's a bunch of just great stories about people working in the soil and in the land, and they provide all the food that we eat, and the restaurants that are trying to get back in business. They can't get anywhere without farmers. And it's been my daughter, Carmen, who has been researching and writing these things. Well, Carmen took a little vacation. She's in Florida. And so she wrote one, and we have a guest reader this morning. Lindsay, what is it that you tell your daughters all the time? What is it? Has you got a thing in your mouth, right? She just took a bite?
It's not, we don't need to be competitive.
It's not a competitive with the sisters. This is Mallory's Farm Story.
It's that time of year again where you can see tulips at every turn. At Holland Ridge Farms in Cream Ridge, New Jersey, that is quite literally the case. The farm grows millions of tulips on its nearly 400-acre farm, a feat that has been accomplished thanks to three generations of hard work. It all started when Casey Jansen Sr. came to the U.S. from Holland and brought with him what he and his son, Casey Jr., call the Dutch Touch. Casey Sr. began supplying tulips and oriental lilies in the 60s at supermarkets along the East Coast, and now, over 50 years later, his son continues his legacy, bringing in more people to pick flowers than his father could have ever imagined. While the family has been in the tulip business for decades, Holland Ridge Farm only officially opened in 2018, and the turnout has been almost as abundant as the flowers. The father-son duo bought a dairy farm in 2017 and has transformed it into what is now the largest premier tulip farm on the East Coast. New Jerseyans and out-of-staters flock to the farm each spring to pick tulips and snap pictures at the Jansen Picturesque Farm. Even beyond flowers, they have hay rides, a petting zoo, and gift shops with souvenirs that also come with the Dutch Touch. Though 2020 came with shutdowns and turning to online orders for Holland Ridge Farms, 2021 has welcomed people safely back onto the farm to do their own picking. And what better way to social distance than in a field of flowers?
All she wanted to know was I better than Carmen? Was I better than Carmen? Good job,
race.
Mallory. Good job. I love tulips. Do you love tulips?
I do.
My wife loves tulips. And we saw some story. I think even the same story that Mallory just read was on like the nightly news. And they opened back up to the public. And it was just a feat. I think that if I were to take my wife to like one of those tulip farms to walk around there, it's just... Talk about an Instagram moment, right? Just
right.
Fields of tulips. Just absolutely beautiful. 877-213-4LOU. 877-213-4568. Let's get back to the phone calls now. This is, let's see, this is Rolanda, who's in the Bronx. Hi, Rolanda.
Hi. I would like a question about my house. I live in the Bronx, and I would like to cover...
Rolanda, I need you to go right inside that phone because it's a little difficult to hear you.
Right. I'm close to the phone. Can you hear me now?
Thank you. That's perfect. Thank you so much.
Okay. Yes, I would like to cover the front of my brick house for tourism. I get leaks, and the brick is really ugly in the front. What kind of material should I use to cover it? Considering the climate in New York, stucco, stone, siding, or any other options?
Well, I mean, here's the thing. If you've got a lot of leaks in there, just covering it up is you've got to be very careful that the leaks are not specific to the openings, meaning that the window openings and the door openings. With the brick home, you have these things called lintels that are like it's metal that goes across the top of the window, and many times leaks can come from there. If you were going to
I already fixed that. Yeah,
you did.
The lintel, yes.
Okay. Now, if you wanted to do some sort of cladding over the front, now let me ask you one other thing. Are you in a row house? Are you in a single? Is it a home that's detached, or are you connected to other houses?
No. It's a single house. It's a three-story house.
Okay. And are you gonna wrap the whole thing?
No, I would like to do just the front because the front is different color and it's really ugly. It's like okay. yellowish.
And this house is masonry. So the rest of the house is all masonry. Brick in the front?
All
and
brick, yes.
All brick, okay.
Yes, all brick.
I mean, from a visual standpoint, if you really are set on trying to cover it, I would probably do a stucco. And if they're going to do a stucco, you could do a synthetic stucco, which they're gonna actually mechanically fasten metal, like a webbing, almost like not a chicken wire, but a heavy metal cloth, and a drainage system, because that's the key with the stucco, is that if water gets behind it, we have to make sure, whoever's installing, that the water drains underneath there, because you don't want an issue with mildew and mold. That is absolutely a no-no. And so stucco will look the best against a masonry home, you know, as a finish. If you went with something like a siding or even a metal cladding, I just don't think you'd be happy with the look. It would stick out like a sore thumb. But with a stucco, I was talking about this earlier. If you go to Nary, if you have a pen or pencil, Nari, Nancy Apple Robert Illinois.org, Nary.org, and you type in your zip code and you look for stucco contractors in your zip code, you'll find people in your area that can do this, and you can get some estimates on there. It's not going to be an inexpensive proposition, Rolanda, but you know, it will be a way to put a cladding on there that's waterproof, and you shouldn't have any problems whatsoever. Okay, thanks so much for the phone call. 877-213-4LOU, 877-213-4568. We'll take a quick break, and we'll be back right after this.
Now back to Lou Manfredini.
How can I help you, sir?
We're debating on putting in a tankless system. Now, I don't know anything about tankless. Can you help me, sir?
Sure. Well, they don't have a tank.
He's taking your calls live.
Where are you getting this kind of radio? Nowhere.
Right here on House Smarts Radio. Sweet dreams
are made of these. Welcome back. 877-213-4LOU. 877-213-4568. You need to put those fingers in the camera. Thank you. Get back to the phone lines. This is Steve calling in from Franklin Park. Hey, Steve. Hello, Steve.
Oh, hey, Lou. This is Steve. How are you?
I'm doing great. What's going on?
Well, last fall, we had our decks done by Deck Tech. Did a great job. Roughly about a month later, I've got parking lots that are right next to my property here that we had the all the asphalt on the top was graded off, and all that wonderful dust came up and stuck into our deck. Hmm. And now I'm trying to figure out how to get it clean.
Okay, wait. So they Deck Tech came and did the deck, but it cured and everything. This was after everything was fine. Like,
yeah.
You used the deck.
Yeah, we used the deck, it was roughly about 4 weeks, about a month afterwards. Mm-hmm. Had the driveways done, and when they came in and they ground up all the asphalt to put new asphalt down, it put a whole big bunch of dust up and ended up onto our deck.
Is it all over? Is it on the railing and all that kind of stuff too?
It's on the railing, on the flat decking that you walk on, and
you know that you know
brushes and,
you know that scrub brush that you can buy at the hardware store that's got like it's a black plastic, it's got a little handle like they would use it on the side of a ship, and it's got like mm-hmm. it looks like a giant hairbrush basically, and it's got yellow tines on it. I want you to get one of those, and then I also want you to get a deck brush that is like a scrub brush, but you can screw a broom handle into it, okay? Then there is a cleaner, a deck cleaner that you're going to buy, and you're going to mix with warm water by Pennafin, their deck cleaner. It actually comes with, it's like chips. It's not liquid, and you're going to mix it with warm water, and you're going to have the hose out there, spray down the deck, use this brush to clean it all up, and then spray it down again. It won't harm your new stained deck, okay? But, It should clean everything up, and you know, you can do that. It's warm enough now to get going out there and do that kind of stuff if you're willing to do the work, and even if it's raining or whatever, it's not a big deal, you know, to do that in a little drizzle or whatnot. Pennafin,
the name of the
Pennafin, Pennofin, deck cleaner, Penifin deck cleaner. And it comes in, the bottle it comes in is kind of like a giant, it's probably like an old, it's a plastic container about the size of a quart can of oil, an old quart can of oil, for those that remember.
Oh, okay.
You know, something like that. You unscrew it, mix it with warm water, brush it all up, and you should be able to clean it up no problem.
Okay. Well, we'll give her a try.
You got it. Have a great day. Appreciate you calling this morning. 877-213-4-LOU. This is Tricia calling in from North Carolina. Hi, Tricia.
Hi, Lou. How are you?
I'm doing great. What's going on?
Well, my husband and I just moved into this house, and we want to redo the counter, and we saw this YouTube video where you put a laminate sheet on 3/4 plywood, and the girl wanted an undermount thing because she said that's better. But what this is, it's called a Karen sink, and we wanted to know if it's worth it buying the sink because it's sort of expensive. And it, what you do is you route out the edges. You put the sink down onto the plywood. It actually, it's a drop-in. Then you put the Formica sheet over the lip of the sink. But we wanted to know if we did that, instead of just putting a regular drop-in sink in, is that edge of that Formica going to crack and chip, even if we get it really flush around the sink?
My experience has been, I know exactly the technique you're talking about, but my experience has been that an undermount sink with a laminate top is just it's not going to last because you're too rough around the edges of a sink, no matter how careful you are. And even when it's all caulked and everything, you just need a little bit of a breach in the caulk, which will happen because the sink will get filled with water. The laminate will expand and contract differently than the plywood, and you'll get water underneath that laminate, and then it's going to be problematic for you long term. So honestly, I would rather, if you really want the undermount sink, I realize that, you know, this is a budgetary, you know, it's a way to save a little bit of money, but I would rather you do a regular laminate top, which, you know, is more affordable, and then just do a really nice overmount sink. I just replaced the kitchen faucet at my father-in-law's kitchen that Mike and I remodeled 30 years ago. And he installed American Standard makes this really nice overmount sink called AmeriCast. And it's a double bowl, really durable sink. This thing's 30 years old. Does it have a couple of chips here and there? Yeah. But overall, the thing is held up really well. And I think that long-term, you would be better off doing an overmount sink with something like that.
Okay, so I was worried about the edges. Should we still, since we don't know what we're doing, should we still attempt that Formica sheet on the plywood and then put the
operative word, Tricia, and what you just said is you don't know what you're doing. And if you don't know what you're doing, I wouldn't try this because I think that measuring and maybe have someone double check regular top overmount sink. It'll be a better way to go, and it'll look great. You can really find some really, really nice looking, laminates out there that'll do a really nice job. All right, let's see if we can get one more call in here before this hour is over. This is Don, who's in Livingston, New Jersey. Hey, Don. Good morning.
Good morning, Lou. Thank you from all the Jerseyans for being there for us. We really appreciate you.
Oh, it's my pleasure. My pleasure. I can't wait that I can get back to one of my favorite New Jersey diners somewhere. I need a big...
Well, they have many of them, and they're all great.
What's going on?
The one in Newark was the number one rated diner in the USA.
I smell a remote. We need a House Smarts remote from the diner. How may I help you this morning?
Terrific. Lou, I built a pressure-treated deck 30 years ago. The decking is 2x6, starting to get a couple of cracks, a little rot. So I'm thinking of 5/4, or I'm even thinking of composite decking. Your thoughts about composite decking, is there one better than others?
I really like the composite decking. You're going to spend a little bit more money on that product. And but it's a really nice one. Trex, in my opinion, I was one of the first contractors when it first was invented back in the 80s to use this product, and it has evolved amazingly since then. Now they have this, what it's called a coated product over the top of it, and it has this almost like a golf ball over the top of it, covering on it, and they have a couple. Their Transcends line is their highest quality line. Then they have their entry level, and it's blocking me right now. I can't think of, if your deck is square, you could go with that one because it's not a bendable product like the other one. For my money, I think Trex is the way to go. I think that you've got the most colors. There's a little bit of a learning curve depending on, like, if you have steps and you're doing treads, you have to miter the treads. So there's a little bit of carpentry work that has to happen there. But I really do like it. And if the substructure of the deck is good, then you have no problem, right? You can take off the decking, unscrew it, and then screw it down. And you can hide those fasteners as well. Thanks so much for the phone call. This hour of House Smarts Radio is through, but we'll continue. You can keep calling 877-213-4LOU, 877-213-4568. We'll take a break and be right back. You know, we used to shoot these Ask Lou segments in this garage in New Jersey. And it was like one of the guys on the crew had this guy that had this garage, and we would set up the garage. And then we would go, this is pre-Seattle Sutton, we would go to this Jersey diner that was across, in Jersey, they have all these amazing diners. And they're like classic 50s kind of style, you know, and you walk in, hey, doll, what do you want? You know, it's like one of those types of places. And you're like, oh, I'll have the turkey club, you know, it's on rye. And it'll be like a turkey club that you couldn't get your mouth around if you were a hippopotamus, right? And they bring you this giant oval plate, and there's a relish tray on. This is for lunch. I mean, you would go take a nap after this. And so there'd be this giant sandwich, turkey club, with a mound of French fries that literally is like a 40-pound bag of potatoes. Right? You could share it with everybody there. It was great. Oh, love a good turkey club.
He's smooth.
Well, you know, I'm shy. I don't like to talk.
He's got a way with his words.
When you open it back up again, that hot, moist air may bring it back again.
Ugh, not that one. He's Lou Manfredini.
It's like those favorite pair of jeans that you put on and they feel right until after you eat too much and you're like, these are not my favorite jeans anymore.
Couldn't have said it better myself.
But I'm saying it better.
Now back to House Smarts Radio.
Fly me to the moon.
Who's got the favorite
Let
set of
me
jeans?
Play.
Anybody?
Among the stars.
Oh, I have something I want everybody to do this morning.
Like on Jupiter and Mars.
Lindsay, I need you to stand up, and I need Joe. I know it might be tough for you in the sports studio, but Don's got plenty of room. So you know, my sister-in-law Nora is a doctor, and every now and then we'll go on a walk, and she says that she was talking to somebody, and when you go on a walk, you should be doing these arm circles. Do you know this? So you stop at some point, okay?
What?
And yeah. And it's something about your shoulders and repositioning your back or something. And like, I started doing them just randomly, like this morning when I got up really early. It is, especially when you're old, the creaks and crackles and stuff. So you stand there and you turn. I'm turning to the side here on the console. Joe, are you standing?
Okay.
Are you standing up, Joe?
I'm standing up now.
Okay, take your left hand. Pretend I'm like a Peloton guy. Put your hand under your bum. No. And take a...
Whoa.
Good morning. Don's like, I like this show. Okay, so turn to the side and take your left arm and kind of do an arm circle backwards. So straight arm, like up all the way around. And slowly, not super fast, okay? And 10 times. And you will be amazed at how it loosens up your shoulders.
And
it feels so good. And then you turn to the left. Now I've got my left bum against the console here. And I'm doing my right arm. Everyone do this. If you're listening, I'm telling you, you're going to feel so much better. Why are you laughing? Why aren't you doing
the
arm circles?
The video screen.
Why aren't you doing?
I feel like I'm watching an instructor.
No, put your hand under your bum.
Click the link below.
I've got a lovely stretch.
Okay,
so
sign up now.
Do this.
Download
my app. Telling you, it is so good. Did you do it, Joe?
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
The blood flow. You
is
can
really
feel
going
it. Ten
now.
Of them, not too fast.
I follow whatever Nora says. I will
course,
absolutely
yeah,
do
believe
it.
Believe me, I do whatever Nora says.
I
feel
it.
Like we're in the water aerobics class in the early morning at the pool.
Right. Up yeah. here.
I am Esther Williams. Like, I used to. go to the Y, and I used to swim, and there was a water aerobics class at like 7 in the morning. It was predominantly women, although it was one guy, which I thought was kind of creepy.
You?
And no, I would be swimming
room
the laps. It was back when I did the triathlon 100 years ago.
Oh, okay.
I would go there early in the morning, and there's a cold pool and a warm pool. And I always wanted to be in the warm pool because I didn't like to be cold, but the water aerobics people were in there. And so then I had to go in the cold pool, so I was angry, and these women would be there, and you can't see me, but I'm like twisting, they had like floaties, and they're like twisting back and forth, and I'm thinking, I just want to do that, not be in this cold pool, having to swim a mile. Oh, do the arm circle
water.
Again. Do it again, Don. Do it again.
Yeah, that's good stuff.
It's good stuff, right?
I do it twice. I'm doing
job,
them both at
Don
the same
Chicago.
Time.
Keep it up.
Great.
Right, I'm reading the thing. Good job, Joe. Good job. Look at he looks like Tom Selleck. Sell me a reverse mortgage.
Oh, my.
I like it. This
well,
is
I
nice.
Definitely feel warmed up now.
Yeah,
what are we going to do next?
There you go. This absolutely. Is... Right? You could be. Listen, the White Sox or the Cubs could use a good man like you.
But for real, how many are you supposed to do that a day?
Ten.
Are you supposed to 10 times a day?
No,
10 circles.
No, 10 circles. But I think you can do them as many times as you want. But Nora's like, oh, we'd be on a walk, like a group of us. And she'd be like, stop us, do the arm circles. And you just kind of do it. And then she'd yell at you if you went too fast. You're going too fast.
Oh,
and
that's
I'm
good.
I'm scared of her.
It is good for the shoulders, for sure.
Yeah, right? 10 slow arm circles. That's your tip for today. The other things nice. You learned on the show.
Thanks, Lou.
You're welcome.
Thank you.
8-7. Oh, and by the way, later on, we got to talk about Ditch Witch swag. I'll bring that up later. I think we got a spot.
Wow, good job not screwing that one up.
Wow. It's really a near miss there.
Let me tell you, whoever the Ditch Witch people are, they're very smart, and I'll explain later. But also what I want to explain is please join me in supporting my favorite charity in the whole wide world, Misericordia. This month, we will be filling my virtual candy jar for Misericordia's 35th annual Candy Days. The money raised will support Misericordia's programs for over 600 children and adults with intellectual and developmental disabilities. Now, if you'd like to make a donation, visit WGNradio.com/candy. On that page, you're going to see a link to donate. I've got a virtual candy jar, which is really cool looking. And thank you to Townstone Financial. They're going to be making a matching donation up to $2,500 to add to our efforts. Thank you so much. Make your donation at WGNradio.com/candy. That's WGNradio.com/candy. I'm sure I'll be talking a lot about that. I'm super excited about that. Their candy days, of course, are virtual because of the pandemic once again, but it's a very important fundraiser, and I wanted to see if I could do something to help a little bit more. And if you can do so, a couple of dollars, $5, $500, that's fine. You can just do that at the website as well. Thank you so, so much. 877-2134-LOU, 877-213-4568. This is Louisa in New York. Hi, Louisa. Oh, what happened to Louisa? I lost Louisa. What happened? All right, let's talk to Kelly. Let's try Kelly. Kelly's in New Jersey. Hey, Kelly.
Oh, hi. Good morning. Thank you for taking my call, and I really enjoy your show. I trust your advice very much.
Thank you. I've got you 100% fooled. How may I help you?
Okay. It's our family home. We built it 30 years ago, and we were actively there on the site. It's a well-built home, and we have no leaks in our roof, but it's time now. It's 30 years old to get a new roof.
Sure.
My question is, can we put a new roof on the existing roof? I'm getting some estimates, and I'm a woman, and not that there's anything wrong, but I want to make sure they're not telling me wrong. I will be selling the home within the year or two, so I wanted to have it sellable ready.
Yeah.
And I wanted to know, can I just put a new roof on top of my existing roof? As I said, I'm savvy with building, and there is no active leaks. It's a well-built home. And I wanted to know what is the correct procedure.
Your you know, what you just said about a well-built home is so important, right? And that's something mm-hmm. that when you go to sell will be palpable mm-hmm. when people come to walk through. If you do a re-roof, that'll be a strike against you, in my opinion. So you have a 30-year-old roof, and it served mm-hmm. you well. And yeah. if you do a re-roof, they'll be like, oh, yeah, and they just re-roofed it, you know, 2 years ago. Well, what does that mean? Well, they put it over the top, and, you know, you could do one more, or, you know, you could tear it off. And, of course, it's going to add a little bit of cost to tear off what's there. But you will mm-hmm. then know there could be damage. There could be something that you're not seeing underneath there that you don't want to have come up in a two things. A, you don't want it to come up in an inspection potentially. And B, you want the peace of mind that you're knowing that you're getting this done. Right. Okay. So let's just say that the tear off portion adds, I'm going to make up a number, $2,500 to the cost. Yeah, it's real money, but it's the better way to go. And then you can do ice and water protection on the roof properly. You can do a decent, you know, 35-year shingle, like an architectural shingle on there. You know it's done right. And that, in my opinion, man or woman, is the way to go, because I just think that that's better peace of mind. And quite frankly, Kelly, it's a better added value proposition when you go to sell the house. Does the house need a bunch of other work, too, when you go to sell in a couple of years?
It's the realtor feels it's a home run home. I'm just doing this because, you know, I'm savvy with it, and I built it with my dad at the time. It's my parents' home.
Love it.
And I just feel for selling, you know, a new roof. It doesn't look bad. Last 2 years ago, when I had someone come and goes, oh, you don't need a new roof. It looks great.
Is your father still with us?
No, I'm sorry. They both, my mom just passed.
Was your father mm-hmm. one of the people when you built this house who was all about doing it the right way?
Yes, absolutely. Not penny wise and pound foolish.
Your father, what was his name?
Leonard.
Leonard would tell you, do a tear off. It's the better way to go.
Okay. I appreciate that very much.
You have a great day. I appreciate you calling this morning. 877-213-4LOU, 877-213-4568. She's still doing her arm circles.
Have a question for Lou?
Well, I've got a problem from that cold snap we had. My heater went out.
Now's the time to call.
I have a 20-year-old granite countertop, and I was just wondering how I would feel.
Lou Manfredini's taking your calls live right here.
And that laminate floor is going to shine like the top of the Chrysler building.
And right now on House Smarts Radio.
Well, I'm working on a building.
You know, I ran into a guy the other day, and he said, I don't like you. I go, why? Because all I got to hear all the time is Lou said. So now do you think there are people saying to their husbands going, Lou said you got to do these arm circles. Welcome back. 877-213-4-LOU. 877-213-4568. This is Kevin, who's in Downers Grove. Hey, Kevin. Hi, Kevin.
Hi, Lou. Thanks for taking my call.
Sure. What's going on?
The question I have is regarding a four-season sunroom off of our kitchen. I'm looking for some recommendation on a heating cooling source. We currently have one of those in-the-wall units. The warm air is just lukewarm, and it just doesn't seem to be very efficient. So I'm wondering if I want to just replace that unit or look for something completely different. I heard you talk in the past regarding some other types of heating.
Well, is this one like a traditional, like almost like what was in a hotel, or is it an inverter? How old is the unit?
It's not sure. We bought about 2 years ago, and it was in here. It's just one of those standard air conditioner units that that you just see it hanging out of a window, but it's built into the wall.
But it's also a heater as well.
Yes, but it's just lukewarm
air
that comes out. So right now we have just a space heater in there. And yeah. I heard you talk about those ventless systems in the past, and I don't know whether I want to replace that unit or look into something completely different. Ideally, I'd like to have something that has its own thermostat that can be controlled.
Yeah. And do you want air conditioning too?
Preferably. More importantly would be the heat, but if I could find like a dual system, that would be that would be ideal, because it does get pretty warm, and it faces east, so in the morning, in the summers, it gets pretty warm in there.
Pretty hot. Okay. So what I was talking about are these what's now called split systems, or they call them ventless systems, and these are they're technically inverters, okay? And it's a similar setup to what you have currently, although it hangs on the wall, but it doesn't go through the wall, okay? And and it's a heat pump for heat, and it's air conditioner for cooling, so you get the best of both worlds. Now, with an inverter, the heat is not hot like a gas why is my computer keep beeping like that? I gotta knock that off. I apologize for that. Here's what I would do. I would start with one of these inverters, because I think that that would probably do the best for you. And if it didn't create enough heat, so you like to use this in the winter as well, correct?
That's correct. And we do have a door that leads to the outside. And right outside, we have a gas grill that is hooked up to a natural gas line. So it's kind of close. I don't know if there's something that I can tap into there, or if that's just too much involved.
This is my point, is that if you started with this inverter, since the air conditioning is important, I would do that. And maybe, probably a better chance than maybe, this will solve your problem. But if it doesn't on those really cold days, you could then add a ventless natural gas heater that you would hang on there. That does have a thermostat, okay? Or, like, imagine if you use the inverter, like, okay, you like to use this, you know, heater, but on those really cold days, it's like, oh, if it was just like a couple, 3 degrees warmer in here, it'd be great, you know? You could go crank on this gas heater, and you'd get it up to temperature in no time. And I realize it's two separate systems, but, you know, if you got a 20,000 BTU wall unit, they're like $300, $400. They're not huge money, okay? The inverter that does heating and cooling installed by a HVAC contractor, like Dykstra Home Services does these, okay? You're probably at like $4,000 for something like that, all in. It probably will solve your problem, but if it doesn't, you could always supplement it with a wall-mounted gas heater if you have a spot to put it. That's safer to use. You know, you're not worried about anything getting kicked over or anything like that. And it might be the way to go.
Okay, great. Do you have time for one more quick draining water heater?
Real quick, question? Yep.
When I drain a water heater, I have a very small diameter hose, so it takes quite a while. Would I be able to turn the water off leading into the unit itself and have the household take their hot showers to help me kind of get ahead of it and then drain the remaining water?
Or turn two things. Turn the water off to the heater, open up the hose. Once it starts to trickle out, pop the overflow, the pressure relief valve, to get air at the top of the tank. Remember, you don't have to drain the whole tank. You just need to drain like 2 or 3 gallons of water, and that's it. But if you pop that pressure relief valve so air gets in the top, you'll see the volume of water comes out a lot faster, and then click it back down. You also exercise that valve, which isn't a bad idea, and it'll be quick. You do not have to do the entire tank, and that should work out just fine for you. Thanks so much for the phone call. 877-213-4LU. When we come back, you know, if you're looking to change the look of your exterior of your home, how about doing it with stone? This is going to be a pretty cool conversation. Stay tuned for that.
What questions around your house are driving you crazy? When do I need to?
I don't know what to do.
Well, before you get to work on your to-do list for the weekend, call Lou.
Is there something I can help you with, Karen?
I hope so.
I'm sorry, we're completely out of time.
He's taking your calls live, right here, right now, on House Smart Radio.
Look back on all the crap I learned in high school. Welcome back to House Smarts Radio, Lou Manfredini. Now, if I say the term cultured stone to most of you, you will think about this manufactured vanity top that I know many of you call me and say, I've got a scratch in it, I can't get it out, what can I do? And there's not much you can do. today we're going to talk with someone from a company called Cultured Stone, but it's not the countertop. It's something that you can use both in and outdoors in for your home. Joining me on the phone line is Allie Rocchetta, who is the marketing brand manager for Cultured Stone. Allie, good morning and welcome to House Smarts Radio.
Good morning. Thanks for having me.
You don't make any of those countertops I was talking about, correct?
No, we do not.
Tell me what it is that your company manufactures.
Yeah, so Cultured Stone, we're a manufacturer of stone veneer. So you would use that as kind of a siding option on the wall. We actually originated back in 1962. It was with two brothers who were really looking to fulfill a need for a new kind of building material. So they created a lightweight concrete mixture, and they cast that in flexible molds that were made from natural stone, and then they hand-painted them to have that look and feel of natural stone. So that was kind of the birth of manufactured stone veneer and probably why people kind of have the synonymous feel of Cultured Stone, manufactured stone veneer, and Cultured Stone, the brand.
Right.
And today we're available in over 150 locations nationwide, and we are part of Boral, who's the largest architectural stone veneer manufacturer in North America.
Now, this is, I mean, you mentioned that it originated as an exterior cladding, like a siding, but it has become so much more, right? I mean, people are using this inside. They're using it for fireplace surrounds. You would be hard-pressed to look at this product and not think that it is real stone.
Absolutely. We really towed our hat on making products that really range from different designs from traditional and contemporary. And like you said, they can be both used on exterior and interior applications, really to enhance the curb appeal on the outside of your home, but also in creative spaces on the inside of your home, like kitchen backsplashes, accent walls. We've seen people use them in multiple ways that are really beautiful.
And can you talk a little bit? I know that the how it gets installed, it's not just one size fits all, right? Is the typical installation where it's put on almost like a tile, where you would use a thin set mortar or an adhesive, or are there other options for installation as well?
Yeah, you would definitely use a mortar. So we consider an N-type mortar would be the best for that, and then you would want to obviously have your setup with a WSRB. We have kind of all the installation details on our website for manufactured stone veneer, but we do really aim to make it a product that people can install on their own, and then we also offer a lot of kind of quick installation with our panelized stone, so any of our ProFit ledge stones. They're actually a panel with multiple stones on them. So when you install it, it looks like you put those little individual stones on yourself, but it's actually a whole panel. So that makes the installation a little bit easier. And then also we offer large format stones, like our carbon cast fit. So those are kind of the sleeker contemporary stones that cover a lot more square footage, so you don't have to spend so much time on installation.
I've seen a bunch of projects that commercial projects. You'll see shopping malls and places like that where they'll have column details, and then they'll use this stone around it. And when it's done, it gives it such a sort of a solid look to it. And it is just, I mean, it's not. While I realize it's not, you have one style that's river rock, that there's no way you wouldn't know it isn't river rock. But when it's all put together and finished, it just gives this solid, grounded look. And the installation process that you spoke of is not that difficult. And when you talk about the ability of homeowners to be able to do it, this really is a retrofit item that, if you have a frame home and you wanted to have a third of the first floor have a wall of stone or something like that with a cap that you also make, that's absolutely possible.
Definitely. And we're seeing a lot more people doing that, especially in this kind of era with the pandemic. People are really getting excited about repair and remodel and kind of these do-it-yourself options. So we've seen a lot more stone being incorporated on the inside and outside of the home.
Can you talk a little bit about affordability? I mean, I'm sure that there's a wide range of pricing depending on what you choose, but, you know, when you compare it to, say, you know, if someone was going to re-side their home with, you know, even a hardy board, which is very popular, or, you know, some type of cementitious siding, is it comparably priced to that?
I can't tell you off the top of my head in terms of pricing, since it kind of fluctuates. So you'd have to check online with that.
Got it.
But we do strive to kind of be competitive within our industry.
Got it. And I know when I look at your website, you can see lots of examples of, I think it's such a great interior finish. If you want to do an accent wall, or you wanted to do a fireplace surround, or even go up to the ceiling. If you have a traditional drywall surround and you wanted to take this cladding and go all the way up, it could just dramatically change the look of the interior space.
Absolutely. It's super impactful. And it's funny you talk about fireplace surrounds and things like that. We're actually seeing more people kind of gather in their home around kind of these fireside features. Mm. So stone has been a big element in kind of bringing those outdoors inside. So definitely.
Yeah, really cool stuff. Allie Rocchetta is the marketing brand manager at Cultured Stone. If people want to learn more about the products that you make and where they could perhaps find a dealer near them, where do they go?
Yeah, you can visit us at www.culturedstone.com. And if you're looking to find the dealer, you can just click on the where to buy option in the top right corner of the website.
That's great. Thank you so much. I really appreciate you getting up with us this morning.
Yeah, of course. Thank you, Lou. Thanks for having me.
You got it. You're listening to House Smarts Radio with me, Lou Manfredini. We'll take a quick break, and we'll be back right after this.
I have to tell you, went to Menards.
Yeah.
And I got a hold of a guy in the paint section, and he said, oh, I listen to Lou Manfredini all the time. And don't get anything else, because you won't be satisfied, because Lou told you so.
Some nights I stay
877-213. No, it is not my butt. 877-213-4-LOU.
Some nights I wish that my lips could build a castle. Some nights I wish they just fall.
Who is line one? I'm sorry. I'm scrolling down, texting like crazy.
Oh, Lord, I'm still not sure what I stand for.
877-213-4-LOU. This is Scott. Hey, Scott, good morning. How can I help you, sir?
Yes, I was just wondering. My mother-in-law has some, she lives in Prospect Heights, and she has a private well, and her outside faucets run through, unfiltered through, to the outside. And we constantly get rust buildup in all those faucets over the year. And, you know, they're all corroded, and you got to replace them constantly. Is there any solution for that?
She's running off of a well, no water softener, correct?
She has a water softener, but the water for the outside does not go through the water softener.
Oh, I see. Okay, so the staining and everything you've got is the outside spigots that we're worried about.
Right, yeah. She has four frost-free faucets out there,
mm-hmm.
and it's like every year the rust builds up and they're leaking and the nozzles get corroded, and it's just, you know, just a pain in the butt.
Mm-hmm. And let me ask you one other question.
Sure.
Does she use these spigots a lot? I mean, because there's a couple ways to go here. You could either treat that water with the softener, which would mean you repipe it, but then you're going to burn through more salt, or...
Right. Mm-hmm.
Or you could do, what is going on? Who's that? Is that me beeping or you? That's not me.
I don't think it's me.
No, I don't think it's you. 877-213-4-LOU is our phone number. Okay. I think that the issue, if you did a water filter, might solve the problem. Does she have an inline filter at all?
Not for the garden faucets, no.
But for the others, she does.
Yes, she does. Could I put like a separate cartridge on there?
Well, that's what I'm thinking, because, you know, you could, you know, depending on how, if you put a canister filter on there, right? Mm-hmm. Then if it was a separate one, there's different levels of what they call microns, you know, that that it will filter. And so with a water spigot, you may not necessarily need something that is as, you know, super refined, but it'll help grab some of that sediment that can make a world of difference there. Now, that's one more filter for you to replace, right?
Right.
You know, if it solves the problem, and here's the nice thing, too, is that you could start with a filter that isn't as refined and see how that goes. And if all of a sudden you're like, hey, wow, it's really reduced, awesome. If not, you can upgrade the filter a little bit and then see if that makes a difference, which I bet it probably will.
Okay.
But keep in mind, the more refined the filter, the more you have to replace it.
Okay. So you're just talking, it's like one of those like long cone type looking ones, about a foot long or so?
Correct.
Okay.
Correct.
Okay. I can give that a try. Could I ask you one more quick question?
Of course.
About shower doors?
Sure.
I have a Kohler sliding shower doors. They're about 15 years old. And the gaskets around the glass are all, they're kind of torn and moldy.
Yep.
And I've called Kohler. I wanted to replace it, and they said they don't make replacement gasket for that. Is there any other solutions for that? Or
I had the same issue with some doors where I had a hard time finding them as well. And if you spend some time on the internet, you will find them. You may not find the exact gasket or the exact one, but the key for you is the thickness of the glass. So take a tape measure. Figure out how thick that glass is, if it's quarter inch, if it's 3/8 of an inch, whatever it is, and then look for those gaskets online. And there's a ton of shower door parts that are available. The other place to go if you wanted to, we had a sponsor years ago, a glass company called 1-800-SHOWERS. And they're a western suburb company, and they're actually a installer of shower doors. They do a really nice job. They've done some work for me in the past. They would be the source as well that you could probably buy stuff from them, and you could even hire them if you wanted to come out and do the work. But that would be the way to go.
Okay, sounds great. I appreciate it, Luke.
You have
a couple of projects to do today. Now
you got it, and you have a nice day. I really appreciate it. How about the next caller? We give a House Smarts Radio hat to, sponsored by our friends over at Cobblestone Remodeling, Chicagoland's premier design build company for kitchens, baths, additions, siding, and windows. Maybe you're working remotely, you don't have enough room. Let Cobblestone Remodeling create the ideal workspace in your home. Visit cobblestoneremodeling.com or call 773-661-0606. Let's send that hat out to Rick in Naperville. Hey, Rick, you're on House Smarts Radio.
Good morning, Lou. How you doing?
I'm doing great. What's going on?
Good. Just a question. I bought a lawnmower at the end of March. It was 159 cc's. My local store had an advertisement, the same mower, which I thought was the same, but it was, I went back to the store manager. It was 150 cc's. Well, the one I bought was $459. This one that's 150 cc's is $379. So it's $80 difference. So I went to the manager. I said, what's the big deal? He says, 9 cc's difference. I said, does that justify $80? And I went around about it because I was a little bit mad because I said, listen, you don't give me cash. I said, I come to this Ace store all the time. I says, I'll spend it here. He said, I'm sorry, I can't justify giving you the difference. And believe me, Lou, I looked at and he looked, it was identical in every respect, high wheels, personal pace, everything, but it was 9 cc's less than what I bought.
Ooh, now, here's my question. What was the brand of the mower?
It's a Toro.
Yeah, so I'll tell you exactly. It's not just the 9 cc's. They're two different engine manufacturers. And so what you may have, I don't have it, you know, in front of me, but Toro uses different engines, and I believe they use a Kohler engine, and I think they use an OHV engine, not a it's like a Honda, but it's not a Honda. And so it isn't.
Is it Briggs & Stratton then?
It might. I don't think it's Briggs & Stratton. I can't remember now because they change engine manufacturers, but it isn't just the 9 cc's. It's the actual engine manufacturer. And so it would be, I mean, the The best way for me to describe it to you, if I put give you two lawnmowers and one has a Honda, Honda engines tend to be one of the best small engines for implements like tillers and you know, lawn aerators and lawnmowers. They just run and run and run. I if you've listened to me for any length of time, you know I've got an old Generac generator that's probably 30 years old that has a Honda engine in it that when Mike and I were building, this thing ran 12 hours a day. I use it twice a year, and I just replaced a carburetor on it 30 years later, and I pull it, and it starts every time. The Briggs & Stratton engine isn't as, it's a good engine, but it's not as durable and long-lasting as a Honda, and it just costs more. So, I mean, I'm not that retailer, but the issue there is that it's just, it's the, what it cost them is less or more than what it costs you. You know, that pricing all goes along, and it has to do with not the 9cc's, but the manufacturer of the engine.
Yeah, that makes sense.
Quite honestly, too. You know, it's funny. I just did a segment on this as well. I'm trying to talk more and more people out of getting out of gas mowers because you know, the battery operated ones are so great now. And depending on how much lawn you have to cut, you know, whether it's an Ego or a Steel or Toro's got a really nice unit out now that's electric, a 60 volt unit. That just runs and runs and runs, and so less pollution and whatnot. But I would, if you really want to delve into this more, find out who the manufacturer of the engine is on that unit, and I think you'll find that it's a higher quality engine than what you have. I'm sorry about the price difference, and I understand why you're frustrated about all that. 877-2134-LOU. We'll take a quick break and be back after this.
This lady loves Lou.
And I've been listening to you forever. I love you, love you.
This guy, he loves Lou too.
I don't think I've missed a show except for when I was out of town.
Yep, another lover.
Good morning. I love your show. I look forward to it every Saturday.
But hey, that's not what this rejoin is about. We're not trying to oversell Lou. I'm just doing like a public service announcement.
You got a lot of love today. This is really good for my ego.
So now you decide for yourself.
Back to your host, Lou Manfredini on House Smarts Radio.
What's love got to do?
Think that I guess there's some Tina Turner documentary or something out there. You think they heard this rejoin that you put together and they're like, we should do a Tina Turner documentary? I don't think so.
It gave them inspiration. That's what you're all about.
Are you watching anything? Have you been watching anything lately that's you want to share with the class?
I think you talked about this last week. Did you talk about Ted Lasso? I love it.
Oh my gosh!
Oh,
isn't
a great
Ted
show?
Isn't it a great show? Don't you just
fantastic.
Love Ted Lasso?
It's such a feel good show. I didn't really expect
it. It is, and that is what we need in this world.
Yeah,
it is such a feel good. Wait, how far are you?
Oh, I
have one episode left. Oh, sorry, Don.
Did you finish it?
No, no. Yeah, I did, but I won't.
I was talking to Don.
Oh.
Oh my God! How about okay? Just I'm gonna say this. How about the scene in the bar with the guy?
Oh yeah.
Right.
A little bit of dart action there.
I mean, just the whole like, you know, it's a show full of like these analogies and these old sayings.
Right.
Joe, have you watched it at all?
I still have every episode to watch still.
Well, I finished it and it's great. I really loved it. And the other one that I'm watching now that I just started that I'm behind the eight ball is the show that I'm not going to say the first word, but the second one is Creek.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
It makes me think of Ted Lasso, actually, that show, in the way they're both such a feel-good show.
And they're just so well-written, and the cast is so good.
Wait, you haven't seen this yet? This is my...
Did you watch the whole series?
Yes.
Yeah, I can't say the first word. It's something
I say
Creek.
Right. Schitt's Creek.
No, you can't say
it. That's the word.
No.
It's their last name.
No, but that you can't say that on the radio.
My daughter's yelling at me here going, Mom, you can't say
that. Stop sweat. You can't say that. Your daughter's
okay, but
right.
You know the,
hopefully
the tagline?
Ferguson hit the number.
Right, he dumped
button.
It. We hopefully dumped
Wait,
that.
But I was. What if somebody called in and that's what their last name was on this show?
We wouldn't take the call.
You're kidding.
No, did you just start working
in
radio?
I'm such a good producer.
Yeah, you're doing great because this is your last day.
Yeah, but that...
Well, you also won't even... What about the dog?
I won't say that either.
You make me say it, though, all the time.
I know, but it's a dog.
Fired?
It's really been fun working with you.
Blank Creek.
Wait, but you know the
stuff. Okay, but anyway, Blank Creek is really good.
The tagline in that show, I mean, one of the, but the sister says to her brother, ew, David.
Yeah.
And then my husband's name is David. Yeah, it is like.
I could see you saying that all the time.
David.
Ew, oh, David. My. Ew, David.
The amount
ew.
Of the amount of gifts that have come from that show, I mean, oh they're God. Just the best.
It is so definitely worth it. And quite honestly, it just keeps getting better and better.
It really does. The characters grow. So it's funny. A couple weeks ago, Don and I probably talked about it for like 20 minutes, how it's just kind of a perfect show.
Yeah. And, the episodes are quick and you can watch it. And it's funny. I was watching an episode last night with Mary Beth, and like the daughter, she's just so good. And each one of them, and like the woman that plays the motel,
Stevie.
Yeah,
she's Stevie so Blunt. Funny. She has such a dry delivery.
Mm-hmm.
It's just really good, really, really good show.
Why did you bring this up? To give Tina Turner.
I was just trying to make conversation, like
because
helping
of Tina
the
Turner?
Audience.
What do you mean, Tina Turner?
What do you mean, Tina Turner?
Oh, well...
What are you talking about?
I can't wait till you ask me to make a rejoin with the song Simply the Best.
Oh, yeah.
Which is coming.
Oh, yeah. That is a loop
just
back.
That's a little tease in the business.
Blank Creek.
Oh, see, I haven't been there yet. Hey, by the way, I'd like you to join me in supporting my favorite charity, Misericordia, this month. We'll be filling my virtual candy jar for Misericordia's 35th annual Candy Days. The money raised will support Misericordia's programs for over 600 children and adults with intellectual and developmental disabilities. To make a donation, visit WGNradio.com/candy. On that page, you'll see a link to donate. And get this, my friends over at Townstone Financial will be making a matching donation of up to $2,500 to add to our efforts. Thank you so much. Make your donation at WGNradio.com/candy. That's WGNradio.com/candy. It is open now and available for you to click on that link and donate if you can. Candy Days is always a lot of fun going virtual this year, and if you can make a donation, that would be great. 877-213-4LOU, 877-213-4568. This is Barry in Naperville. Hi, Barry.
How you doing, Lou?
Great. What's going on?
Appreciate all the years of advice. Quick question. Have a 35-year-old garage, finished interior with drywall. And I'm debating on the 4-foot down section throughout the garage, whether to go FRP or metal that they sell at the big box stores. And again, it's a finished drywall garage from, you know, floor to ceiling, but I'm only going to go up 4 foot. Any other
what is it that you want to accomplish?
Trying to prevent the continued banging on the walls, moisture from shovels.
Got it.
And just the bottom 4 feet always gets beat up. So just trying to think if there's any other materials you'd recommend. FRP looks like a lot of work. I'll do it myself, but...
You're talking about the coated material, the 4x8 sheets of coating?
Right. Yeah, it's the very thin. Get it in white or gray, and you put it up with the adhesive.
I mean, that is not super, it's more durable than you think, but, I mean, you will nick it, and, you know, you can dent it a little bit with the drywall underneath there. You could go with, the bottom 4 feet doesn't make a lot of sense. I mean, why don't you just put plywood?
Plywood?
Yeah.
Yeah, I had old paneling up, then I took those off because they got beat up, but just old plywood?
Not old plywood. Maybe why don't you get, why don't you get, so, you know, in plywood, there's CDX, which is rough plywood, and then there's CDX, and then there's A and B, where it's a little bit smoother that you could paint. So the finish on it, you know, is nicer on one side. I mean, if you just took, heck, you could take a piece of 3/8-inch plywood if you wanted to and nail it, you know, tack it or screw it right to studs and then paint it. And you're going to get the durability there. That to me, you know, I mean, I'd screw it on. I wouldn't nail it on and go from there.
Okay, and you think that's a better finish, long-lasting, than the FRP panels?
Yes.
Okay.
And okay. it's a nicer look. I mean, you know, it's. I mean, the FRP panels are nice, but they're just so lightweight. And by the time you try and stick it, if you try nailing it, you're going to poke through it with a half inch or a 3/8 inch plywood. It's just more substantial.
Right. And then would you cap the top of it so it looks decent with like a beat of.
Sure. Wood, yeah. Wood I mean, if you wanted to do that, you could find a little almost like a top rail that's got a notch to it and it'll have a kick on it. With you could put a nice little simple rail and tack that on with some lightweight nails or something like that and a little glue, and that would look great.
Great. All right. Appreciate it, Lou. Thanks a bunch.
You got it. Have a great day. Appreciate you calling as well. Hey, it's time now to hear from Lindsay about what's new at Builder Supply Outlet.
Thanks, Lou. All right, if you're someone who likes to stay on trend, then it's out with the old and in with the gold. Add richness to existing cabinets by swapping out tired-looking hardware with brushed gold. Or maybe matte black is more your style. It's such a small change, but one that delivers a huge payoff. Let Tom's expert team help you find the right finish to pump up the personality of your kitchen without breaking the bank. Come check out the new cabinet hardware and more at Builder Supply Outlet. What questions are on your house are driving you crazy?
When do I need to?
I don't know what to do.
Well, before you get to work on your to-do list for the weekend, call Lou.
Is there something I can help you with, Karen?
I hope so.
I'm sorry, we're completely out of time.
He's taking your calls live right here, right now on House Smarts Radio.
Welcome back. 877-213-4LOU. 877-213-4568. This is Kevin in Spring Grove. Hey, Kevin.
Hey.
Morning.
How you doing?
I'm good. What's going on?
Hey, I have to. I had a couple of trees taken down, and do a stumps ground, and I'm going to be putting some black dirt down and seeding it. But I also, in the spring, I also weed and feed, and I just wanted to know. I don't want to put the seed down and put weed and feed on it and kill a seed.
Right.
What would be the timing for something like that?
Now you can buy if you're going to do the whole step program, there is one step that's designed for seeding if that's what you want to do. So that if you're going to do that, make sure you're buying that bag. And to your point is if you put down a pre-emergent, which is now is the time to put that down. If you put seed down, you'll just kill the seed. So how much of an area are we talking about that we're going to cover?
Well, just I've got an acre here that I'm doing the weed and feed on, but the part that I'm putting the grass seed on is probably only about 1,000 square feet.
Got it. So rake that up, put your seed down. Maybe even if you can mark it, maybe even with like a little, a little spray paint, a little marking paint on the ground so you know the areas that you covered. Stay off of that entirely, in my opinion. Stay off of that entirely. With any pre-emergent or even I like the step one for seeding, but I'd rather you get that pre-emergent down altogether when you put it down. So maybe you stay off that part, you do the rest of it, cover it with a little peat moss or topsoil, and give it a couple 3 weeks before you hit it again with the full on. I would still probably do the one with the seeding in that area.
All right.
Does that make sense?
I think so.
Anything else I can help you with?
That's it.
All right, sir. Have a great day. Appreciate you calling this morning. 877-213-4-LOU. 877-213-4568. This is Andrew in Chicago. Hi, Andrew.
Hey, how are you?
I'm doing great. What's going on?
All right. Under contract to buy a house in the western suburbs of Chicago. And the inspection identified that the top of the foundation is below grade. How significant of an issue is that, and what do you do to fix it?
Well, it's significant in the sense that if the landscaping or the soil around there, you're going to potentially get a leak coming into the basement. What's the exterior of the home?
It's brick veneer.
Yeah, so... I mean, more than likely, I don't know how well you know the topography of this house, but in other words, is it elevated? Is the ground relatively flat? You know, what can happen over time is people add mulch and they keep adding more mulch and it keeps getting higher and higher. And before you know it, I mean, I had this exact problem on my home where I was getting a little bit of water in and on a side of a house that, quite frankly, I wasn't paying attention to. And I went over there. It was just years of a buildup of mulch that was up over the foundation line, exactly whatever you have there above that. So it could be that it just needs to be pulled out, removed, and if it can be repitched. The biggest issue is I need that foundation top not to be underground. So it has... Go ahead.
There's a patio, a fairly large patio, and even the patio is above the top of the foundation. And it's the patio is downhill from a neighbor house behind it, so it does collect water in the patio area.
And do we, how about water in the basement?
Well, it's hard to tell. The inspector noted that the basement was freshly painted.
Right.
But and beyond that, we don't know if it's had water damage.
And in the disclosure, they said the basement doesn't get water.
They haven't made that disclosure yet.
Right. I mean, is everything that you just described kind of points in the direction of water coming into the basement? Yes. Is everything you just described mean that it absolutely gets water in the basement? No, but if I was a betting man, you know, I would be worried about that because it can't, I mean, especially the patio above that against the brickwork is just kind of a big no-no, you know, it's just a... If you're up above and water collects there, now as it comes down, well, it's on the top of that wall, and it can, you know, it's water coming over the top of the boat. I know it's hard because there's not a lot of houses out there to buy. And do we love the house?
We love all aspects except for this.
Right. Then. You know, I mean, here's the thing. I mean, you could ask for additional inspection. You could ask for that disclosure form. But, you know, you're let's say you buy this house. And let's say you can solve the issue with the dirt that I mentioned on the side. The only way you're going to solve that patio issue is to take the patio out. And then hopefully, depending on the topography of the property, you can lower the patio and or repitch it. But all that add cost to all this, right?
Right.
And so you got to assess how far you're willing to go and or what you're willing to pay for and invest in all this.
Right.
It's tough right now because the market is tough because there's not a lot out there. And, you know, the fact that you've got a deal pending, but man, the last thing you want, I mean, I'm just thinking this through. If you've got water in that basement, freshly painted basement, all that kind of stuff, you need to know about that disclosure. You need that.
Right. That makes sense.
Sorry.
No, it's helpful.
All right, keep me posted. Call me back and let me know what you decide to do. I appreciate you calling. 877-2134-LOU. You know, it's time now for our new to Lou 2, sponsored by ChevyDriveChicago.com. You know what? When you need a new ride, you need a new Chevy.
Now, I haven't broken a lot of light bulbs in my lifetime. I can probably count the number on one hand. But the times I have broken them, I can remember those tiny, shattered little pieces everywhere that take forever to clean up. And if they're not totally cleaned up, I may find them lodged in my bare foot at some point. Definitely has happened. Do I think broken light bulbs are a huge problem? No, but they can be a problem, especially if you need light in small areas or places where bulbs might get knocked out easily. Either way, after testing this week's new Tolu 2 for myself,
myself, I'm all about it. IncrediBulb is a shatterproof, flexible LED light bulb that's made with silicone, so it'll literally bounce when dropped and never shatter. You have to see it and feel it to believe it. It's crazy. But it works. Always looking for ways to improve everyday items. After inventor Joelle Mertzel dropped and broke a light bulb, she pondered, why are light bulbs so easily broken? So she got to work, and the result is an incredible shatterproof bulb made from silicone that stays cool to the touch and lasts for years. Sounds like a bright idea to us. Each energy-efficient and environmentally friendly IncrediBulb will last 13-plus years. After hours of use, the light bulb will remain cool to the touch. They're designed for home use. You can really use them in any room, but they're great for the attic or for a motorhome where light bulbs often get knocked and break. Best part yet, they are super reasonably priced. A 2-pack 40-watt goes for $9.99. A 2-pack 60-watt goes for $11.99. You can get them in 12-packs. And you can find out more about these super cool and bouncy IncrediBulbs on HouseSmartsRadio.com.
And that's this week's New
Dealer 2. Wow, they really went to town. Did we? You really?
I forgot I did that.
Yeah.
She recorded that so long ago. She really was into it.
I have a question about the IncrediBulb. It's, well, not a question, but so imagine an LED light bulb. You know what they look like now. They all kind of look the same. That whole part that is the part that gets illuminated is now squishy. Like this could be a total, like a stress. It's almost like a stress thing. You could squeeze.
Oh, you're right. It could. You're right.
You could squeeze the thing, and it feels interesting. I don't know how to describe it. It's a neat idea. I mean, it's definitely not going to break. But it leads me to the question: do you, when you're home, mostly walk around barefoot?
Do I what?
When you're home, are you mostly walking around barefoot?
I would say 50% of the time.
50 or 60?
55.
Joe 56%. Brand?
56%.
Shoes on, shoes off, socks on, socks off.
Pretty much always socks.
Pretty much always socks. How about your lovely bride?
I guess more barefoot than socks.
Yeah. Right?
We're hardwood floors, so socks are kind of necessary.
Kind of cold, right? Yeah. I see that. I like socks. Just throwing that out there. Like the little socks.
I love these little segments. We got to do more of these.
Well, you know, have you done more arms? She's been going crazy with the arm swirls.
I have now.
Although,
I told you.
But it's like a windmill. I go, slow down. You're not supposed to go fast. It's supposed to be slow, and you're supposed to
be deliberate.
We've got
places to be.
877-213-4LOU. 877-213-4568 is our phone number. Let's get back to the phone calls. By the way, the Noodaloo 2, you can find it at housemartsradio.com if you want more information about it. Links to it all. It's up on the website to see it. Let's talk to Barb, who's in Des Plaines. Hi, Barb.
Hi, Lou. This is wonderful. We moved into a condo in Des Plaines about 4 months ago, just under 4 months. And a previous tenant had installed Toto toilets.
Okay.
Two Toto toilets.
Say that fast three times.
I'm kidding.
Go ahead. Okay. Two Toto toilets.
Two Toto toilets, yes. And I wear my tutu when I use my Toto. So anyway, the problem is, I mean, they flush wonderfully, so on and so forth. When we first moved in, this place had been uninhabited for at least a year, maybe closer to two. I'm not sure just what.
Okay.
But when we first moved in, there was a little sediment coming through the
when you would flush the toilet,
there would be a little bit of sediment. Well, that cleared up, and one is still fine. Once in a while, a little bit, but the second one, which is in the master bedroom, it's just awful. The tank is as clear as a bell. That's wrong simile, but anyway. The tank looks fine, but the water coming out of the, you know, the discharge, whatever, into the bowl,
yeah,
is just black.
So a couple things with the Toto toilets. I'm familiar, you know, with the workings of them. What I would double check when you take the lid off of the toilet, where the flapper or the flush valve is, there's probably like a black gasket that is the connection point. I'm assuming this toilet is a two-piece toilet with a tank and the bowl. And there's a rubber gasket right. that connects the two. And the fact that you tell me that the water sat there for a long time and was, you know, probably stagnant at that point, it wouldn't surprise me if that connection point, that gasket there needs to be replaced, that it's slowly kind of deteriorating, and you're only seeing uh-huh. you're not seeing it in the tank, but you're seeing little bits and pieces of it when you flush in the bowl. Now, that's one thing to do. The other thing is, it's possible that there's sediment and scale under the rim inside the actual jets of the toilet that are causing that to come in there. And one thing you could try is taking a little bit of take a coat hanger and bend the end of the coat hanger so you've got like a 1 inch or so little L shape on the end of the coat hanger. Take a hand mirror under the edge of the toilet, and like a dentist, I want you to poke up inside those holes to clear out the holes a little bit, because there may be some scale and sediment inside there, okay? And then, so now stay with me. There is a product you can buy also at the hardware store or home center called HuraClean.
Okay.
Not Hurricane, but HuraClean.
Right.
You're going to rip open a package. You're going to dump it in the toilet tank before you go to bed, like after you're done using the facilities. And when you put it in there, it's going to start to fizz up like Alka-Seltzer. What I want you to do, though, once it starts fizzing after about 2-3 minutes, I want you to just flush ever so slightly, not to cause a flush, but just to get a little bit of that water and the stuff that you just poured in there into the rim of the toilet overnight, and then go to sleep. And in the morning, go ahead and flush that toilet back and then see if that solves your problem. If it doesn't, then I think you probably have to change out that gasket between the tank and the toilet.
Aha. Okay.
In your,
sounds good.
In your,
thank you so much.
In your two Toto toilets when you're wearing a tutu.
You're just too much.
Hello, everybody. She's here all week, and enjoy the veal. Thank you for calling.
You're listening to home expert Lou Manfredini.
Contractors operate in a world all their own. They really do. They have their own calendar. Completely different from any calendar anyone else can use. Contractor tell you it's going to be done in 3 days. He's like, well, I didn't mean 3 days in a row. I just picked 3 days. I give you one in July, one in August, and then I got one in late November.
Now back to Lou Manfredini and House Smarts Radio.
Welcome back. 877-213-4-LOU, 877-213-4568. This is Lenore in Hanover Park. Hi, Lenore.
Good morning. Good morning. First of all, I wanted to thank you for the Misericordia plugs that you're doing. I used to shop at the thrift store that was open for 39 years, I believe, and because of the pandemic, they had to close.
Yeah.
So I know. It really could use our support now.
That's so nice. That's very nice of you to say. How may I help you this morning?
So I had a broken pipe, well, sewer backup about 3 years ago, and it kind of seeped into my dining room kitchen where I had a oak buffet cabinet. I cleaned it up as best I could, but it's been there for 3 or 4 years. Now I had a pipe break in June. Remediators came out and threw all the furniture into pods. I'm wondering if it's worth dragging that furniture back into the house or if it's going to have the odor of the wood that's been there. My sister said she thinks I'm probably nose blind to it by now.
Don't you just love your sister?
Yes, I do.
I know. So I'm just curious. You had a pipe burst. Is your home on a slab?
My home's on a slab, and I had sewer backup in the laundry room, which goes right into the dining room. So I know that it's gotten wet. Just kind of moved it away from the wall, wiped it down as best I could on the outside, never gave it much thought. Then in June, a pipe burst while we were on vacation in the bathroom. So that at least was clean water, but it was 5 days worth of water.
This furniture has been in a pod this whole time?
Yep, since June, between COVID and contractors and insurance, kind of been sitting. And now I'm like, maybe I shouldn't even be moving it back in. Maybe sitting, you know, in a pod wrapped up in saran wrap is holding the odors in.
Well, I mean, I think that's certainly a viable like conclusion you could come to. I mean, I think that you've got an issue, a potential issue with odors just from what it was inside that pod. So, I mean, that I think that if you had an odor with it before with the sewer thing that you always sort of smelled underneath there, I don't know what kind of advice I could give you to kind of get rid of that odor, meaning, you know, like, oh, well, just do this and it'll be fine, because it may not work other than refinishing the whole thing. And then if we go down that whole route, is that worth it as opposed to donating it or burning it? And
yeah.
And then, you know, buying some new stuff. So I don't know where your budget is on all this, but I think the first thing to answer the question is you got to get that furniture out of the pod once we get some nicer weather, or put it in a garage or something to see what kind of odor is there. Now, keep in mind that when it's outside, it's not going to be as potentially pungent as it'll be inside of an enclosed space.
Right.
You can certainly bring it in, see what's there, wipe it all down before you do all that, and then assess it. I think that if you still have an odor when you bring it inside, Lenore, then your option of maybe getting new stuff probably makes the most sense.
Because I'm guessing that charcoal or baking soda or any of that is probably not going to do the trick after.
It all depends on the effect of it all. I think that you could certainly try all that, but the only way you're going to effectively probably do it is to refinish the whole furniture, to get down to the bare wood where you can expose the fibers and then clean it. The problem is you've got finish, you know, you've got stain, all that holds the odor. If I get down to the wood, even that, if I get down to that, there's still a potential, depending on what type of wood it is and how much damage was, that you'll still get a little bit of smell. And to what your sister said, oh, you're nose blind, you may be nose specific, that no matter what, when you see it, it triggers the thing like, oh, it smells like sewage. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
Like it might be a mental thing that if you go and just replace it all, you know, it might be a smarter thing. That could be like one of those penny mustard. You know how the penny mustard people I told you are like the Smothers Brothers of they could be like, you got some smelly furniture? Come see us at Penny Mustard. Right?
Yeah.
Throw that out there as an idea.
Okay. Well, that's kind of what my gut's been telling me, that I need to let go. It's like, you need to let go.
Yeah.
But you've just confirmed what my gut's been telling me.
Good luck. I know it's not an easy decision, but it's probably the wiser decision to consider. Just so I think a lot of times, you know, a lot of that stuff can be a mental thing too, right? Where you it's in your head and you're like, oh, it still smells. And, you know, it might just be more of a mental thing than anything else. 877-2134 Lou, this is Joe in Rantoul. Hi, Joe.
Hey, Lou, how are you, guy?
I used to drive by Rantoul on my way to Millikan University all the time.
Well, there you go. Not too far from Millikan, about 60 miles.
That's right, that's right. The Air Force base is no longer there, correct?
Oh, yeah, we lost that, and it sure made it economically a disaster here.
Yeah.
We're trying to recover.
Good. How may I help you, sir?
I got two questions, Lou. We've installed dimmable LED lights, ceiling lights, and dining room lights, whatever. And I listen to a lot of AM radio. I'm visually impaired, so I don't care for TV much. And as a matter of fact, I listen to you on AM.
Thank you.
And when we have those on, all I get is static.
Yeah.
Is there a way to cure that?
No. I shouldn't say no. When you changed over to these LEDs, are they on a dimmer switch?
Yes.
Did you change the dimmer switch?
We did.
Okay, so that's a universal dimmer as well.
Right.
So the problem is there's a frequency there that is interfering, and the fact that you're, southern Illinois is the signal. It's probably pretty good at 6 in the morning, but it gets worse, right, as the sun starts to come up?
Well, and the local AM stations aren't bad at all.
Right.
But it's like you're 120 miles away.
Right. Do you have a battery-operated radio?
I have it right here, yeah.
Is that what you're listening on?
Right.
And that one's static as well?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. So... I mean, the only other way to get crystal clear service, especially the fact that you're that far away, do you have internet at the house?
We do. Yeah, we could do that as well.
Do you have the smart speaker at all? One of those smart speakers?
No. Okay. Sure don't.
So, you know, if you buy one of those, or you, quite frankly, if you do one of those, you can just tell that smart speaker to play WGN radio, and it's over the internet. And it is crystal clear.
Right. And we're going to look at that as well.
But, yeah. Do you buy anything from Amazon or anything like that?
Oh, yeah.
So if
Who
you're.
Doesn't?
Right, exactly. So if you're a Prime member, which you may be, you can buy their smart speaker for, I think it's like $25. And you plug it in, you set it up to your thing. You can even get it to part of your. Membership allows music that you can play, all kinds of music for free, and you can just tell it to play WGN radio, and it'll be like stereo. It will be stereo, and it's, you hear the same commercials, and you hear all the same stuff. It's a little bit delayed from the actual broadcast you're hearing now at 30 seconds, but it works out pretty well. Thanks so much for the phone call. I really appreciate you listening to WGN radio.
You are listening to your big brother in the business. That's right, Lou Manfredini. And he's taking your calls live right here on House Smarts Radio.
Nothing wrong with a hard head and a hand.
Welcome back, House Smarts Radio, with me, Lou Manfredini. Our phone number is 877-213-4-LOU.
God bless the working man.
You know, the last thing that I need in my life is another T-shirt or a hoodie. Because I have a million of them. But last week we had a couple of commercials on from a company called Ditch Witch Midwest, which I just love a good Ditch Witch, right? So if you don't know, chances are if you turn on if your heat is working in your house, if your internet is working, if the plumbing in your house is working, Ditch Witch was the machine that put the pipes under the ground. Think about that, okay? So the company sent out some swag.
Yeah.
I'm holding up right now. Lindsay doesn't have this yet because she's been out of town. But this is, they sent some Ditch Witch Midwest sweatshirts. I promise you, this will be your new favorite hoodie.
I could tell by the pictures you sent me. They've
and
got good swag
a t-shirt,
going on.
And listen to how smart they are. They sent a box because I made a joke about, a t-shirt, whatever, the Ditch Witch people. They send a nice little note. Oh, thanks for the, commercial reads. And here's a sweatshirt and a T-shirt for you and for Lindsay and for Mary Beth. Yeah. Yeah. They sent it to you.
Ooh,
I mean, they hitting on all cylinders. Like, oh. And my wife has been walking around in the Ditch Witch sweatshirt all week.
That's
She's
awesome.
Like, oh, this is my new favorite sweatshirt.
That's
so anyway,
awesome.
Dig it with Ditch Witch. That's their new thing. 877-2134-LOU. Let's get back to the phone lines now and talk to Patrick, who's in Chicago. Hey, Patrick, you're on House Smarts Radio.
Okay.
Hi, Pat.
Hey, Lou. How are you? Happy Saturday.
You too, sir. What's going on?
Well, a couple of years ago, Peoples Gas came in. They took my meter from the inside to the outside of the basement. They pulled out the... they didn't pull out they disconnected the service pipe that was underground, and they ran it above ground to continue service into the house. Kicker is that pipe that they left in there, I'm regularly getting a good stream of water every time we get anything, other than a sprinkle of rain. In fact, fact, I actually noticed a small layer of silt now coming, building up on the floor of my basement. So the question I had was, I really want to pull this pipe out. I don't want to just try to seal it around it because there's nothing holding the pipe in place, really, because mm-hmm. it's already been cut off. So is that something that I should be getting a hold of People Gas to do? Is that something that they're even partially responsible to maybe take care of? Or is it something I just need to call a contractor and do some kind of, concrete injector or something like that to seal up that hole?
Are you getting water with the pipe that's sticking through the wall that is now terminated? Is it capped or is it open?
It's capped.
Okay. So you're not getting any water. You're not getting any water coming out of the pipe. It's coming from around.
Oh,
Pat. I think we just lost Pat. Pat, you just cut
now
out.
Now that I've
Pat,
actually removed a Pat, couple big bushes in there and stuff. I'm sorry.
Pat, you just cut out a little bit, so answer that question again.
Sorry about that. So the pipe always leaked a little bit, but over the years, you know, now that they've pulled it out and there's nothing really kind of holding it in, I have a feeling it's kind of shifting around in there.
Yeah.
And it's just grinding out on the concrete around it. So I want to.
And how deep is this? In other words, when I'm in
3 feet underground.
So if I'm inside your basement looking at this pipe, it's like chest level.
No, right now if I'm in my basement, the pipe is at ankle level.
Oh, okay. But my point is. So the thing is, I don't know what's going on with the pipe on the outside. Did they cut it and you could pull the pipe in, or is there an elbow on there that's going to keep you from doing that?
I don't think so, because when they put the new meter in, they literally put it in right along the same line as the old pipe.
Right. Right. So the problem is, we don't know how long that pipe is or what's the connection point is. I don't know that People's Gas will probably, or the gas company will say it's not their problem. We're just there to do the meter and any kind of protrusion, blah, blah, blah. Because technically, trying to think about this, how does this work?
It probably would have been leaking anyway over the years.
Well, right. But I think that their responsibility, I'm just thinking about this as a home builder, you know, the plumber's responsibility is to make the. Bring the pipes in to hold the meter, and then that's the responsibility of the gas company to put the manifold in and put the meter in. So they'll say that pipe's your responsibility. Now, in order for you to solve this problem, you're going to have to dig on the outside to find out where that pipe is, cut it, pull it out, and then we got to seal that hole.
Exactly.
Now, it's probably something that PermaSeal could do. So that is something that you could give them a call at 800-421-SEAL and see if that's something they could help you with. It's a little bit, you know, it's a little bit of a weird problem, but they can solve that problem. But they could do the digging if there's access to it and seal it up.
Absolutely. In fact, I had a giant evergreen bush in there, and that was actually just taken out when I had the front of the house kind of redone a little bit.
Sure.
I can do more, but I can't do it until I get that pipe situation taken care of.
Call PermaSeal, 800-421-SEAL, and tell them what you got going, and they should be able to help you with that. Pat, I appreciate the phone call. Hey, we need to go into the WGN Radio sports office. Joe Brand, what's going on?
Yeah, the White Sox have postponed their game against Kansas City today. It's going to be part of a doubleheader on May 14th. Those will be 2 7-inning contests because that's the rule change for the second consecutive year. But the White Sox want to let fans know, this is via their Twitter, fans with game tickets and parking passes today automatically will receive credit in their White Sox ticket account. Fans can apply the credit value of today's tickets and parking to any future regular season Sox home game once those tickets become available. But again, if you were planning on going to today's game, it's not happening.
Hmm. Thank you very much. I appreciate
that. You got it.
877-213-4LOU. 877-213-4568 is our phone number.
You're listening to Lou Manfredini.
Good morning. You're on House Smarts Radio.
I could think of a million things to ask you, but I'm going to limit it to one thing today.
All he wants to do is help.
So teak oil, don't use it. Go to Penafin, use their product, and I'll get a nice result.
And help you feel good.
It's going to look great. And you're going to look great.
Thank you.
And maybe even look good.
That's the most important thing.
Right. It's always better to look good than to feel good. Remember that.
Now back to Lou on House Smarts Radio.
Woke up this morning feeling fine.
Welcome back.
There's something special on my mind. Last night I met a new girl.
877-213-4LOU.
Oh, yeah.
This is Barbara in Hobart. Hi, Barbara.
Hi, yes.
Good morning.
Good morning.
How may I help you?
Okay, I have a couple metal pieces for out in the yard and an old planter and a decorative screen. And the decorative screen is just wide open, like barely some bars on it. And on one of the shows, like Salvage Dogs or something, they said, oh, get a rust inhibitor for your metal pieces outside. Well, the only thing I found is Rust-Oleum, and it's a spray. Well, it would take me 4 or 5 cans, and I'm wasting half of it out into the air with a spray. I can't find a rust inhibitor to put on these metal pieces.
Oh, you absolutely can. It's called Rust Stop. And if you go to the hardware store, you can find a quart of it. And, well, first of all, what you're going to do is you're going to take a metal wire brush, and you're going to brush off any loose material, you know, paint or built up of rust, if there's any of it, to kind of get that off.
Yeah, there. It's not painted. It's just, there is some loose rust. I like the rusty look of it. I just want to keep that, but I want to protect it.
Okay, but a rust inhibitor or rust stop is actually a coating, so it will be painted then.
Yeah, but it's clear, right?
No, it's not clear.
How can I find something clear?
Well, I mean, you can... I am unaware of a rust inhibitor that is clear. The Rust-Oleum that you found is not a rust inhibitor that's clear, is it?
The spray, they have it in a spray.
They do?
But they don't have it in the paint on it.
I'm unfamiliar with that. If they have it in a spray, they might have it in a... I'll have to look that up.
No.
They don't. You're
they don't
certain.
Make it. I'm positive. They don't make it. I have to buy a white or a black or a blah, blah, blah. And
Yeah, it would be the rust inhibitor that I'm speaking of is a color. I'm unfamiliar with the clear. I get your point about how you would have to spray like crazy. What could you put as a, well, I mean, you could use any kind of clear coating, but it's not necessarily going to be a rust inhibitor. If you like the look of the rust, then what I would tell you is, then I would just take the wire brush to it to knock off the big rust and then leave that look that you want, and then on an annual basis, knock that off again. Now, you could, if you knock the rust off and you did something like used a clear, you could try clear lacquer, which would seal over the top of it, and it would keep the water from getting to there and probably cause the rust, or, you know, not allow the rust to form, get bigger, you know, like, but it would be something you'd have to retreat every year.
Right. I saw something online that said that it was clear or something, but it was like a professional grade, and it said, wear a mask, keep away from animals. I mean, I thought, okay, I don't know if that's safe to put on it.
Who is calling me? Sorry. I don't know what's going on here. I'm having a good time here with all these sounds coming from my computer. Yeah. Let's do this. Can you let me do a little investigation? Keep listening, because I want to... There must be something, but I am unfamiliar with a clear that causes this to work. And I want to learn about this too. So let me do a little investigation, and in the next 10 minutes, I'll find you something that you can use. So please keep listening. 877-213-4LU, 877-213-4568. Yeah, let's talk to Sandy, who is in Huntley. Hi, Sandy. Hi, Sandy. You're on House Smarts Radio.
Good morning, Lou.
Good morning.
I have this terrible issue in my backyard with my swimming pool deck. When we first put the deck in 2004, we did everything according to what the village handout paperwork said. You know, you dig the hole so deep, and then you, and it didn't make sense to me at the time, but this is the way they said you had to do it. You dig the hole so deep, you put the 4x4 in there, you get it plumb, you fill it with concrete, and then you proceed. Once everything is set, then you do your framing and all that kind of stuff. Anyway, so over the course of years, the deck, of course, has heaved because I'm on a very high water table.
Okay.
And what really ticked me off in the first place is every step you do, then the village guy comes out and he inspects it. And what seemed not right in the beginning was when we dug the holes, when my husband got this big giant machine, he dug the hole. In the bottom of each hole was like 4 or 5 inches of water. So it didn't make sense to me that you have to put this wooden 4x4 in there, because I'm thinking, okay, well, it's going to act like a wick and make problems, which it eventually did. What is the solution? I had a friend come, I don't know, a handful of years ago, and he just likes to exercise and build his muscles, so he got a jackhammer, and where the deck was heaved the most, he got floor jacks, he jacked it up. You know, first he cut the wood, he jacked it up, he dug out this big lump of concrete that was in the hole, and then he proceeded with putting a tube in there, pouring new concrete, putting a bracket on the top of the new concrete, and setting the 4x4 into that. And the ones that he did, several of them are still heaving up. This is like 4 years ago. Several of them are still heaving up. What is the solution? Because sometime in the near future, I want to replace that deck because, you know, at the time, wood was cheap. We made a wooden deck, and my husband has since gone higher up. But I don't have the strength or energy to...
So you got a bunch of things going on. The high water table certainly adds a dynamic to it that you need to... that needs to be addressed as to how you do this. The way you solve that is, I'm not a big, you know, when it comes to a deck, you can either do what they call post in pier or post on pier. And a post on pier with a high water table, you would dig those holes, you would bell out the bottom of the hole, meaning that if it's a 8-inch diameter hole at the bottom, you would dig that out. It's a little bit tricky, but there's a you would make the hole a little wider at the bottom. Then you would fill that hole with concrete. So now I've got this a lot of weight pushing down on the ground, and it's below the frost line, which would put you at, you know, 42 inches depth. And then on top, you'd put a hanger, like a Simpson tie, in that concrete that would hold the 4x4. So it's a galvanized piece that goes inside there that you would affix on top of there. Then the post goes on top of that. Now, typically that hanger that Simpson makes pulls the wood up because there's a metal plate on the bottom, so the wood's not touching the concrete, so there's a little bit of separation there. And now the weight of the concrete, even if the water table's high in several of the posts, shouldn't allow it to heave because you're below the frost line. That'll stay wet, but the concrete doesn't care. And then the overall weight of the deck on top of that should cause that not to happen anymore. And you just got to make sure, I'm sure that the village would allow what's called a post on pier as opposed to post in pier. It's a stronger, in my opinion, way to build the deck. And that's how you should address that. Thanks so much for the phone call. I'm just bumping up against time. When we come back, it's going to be our Just Text Me segment. You can text me at 877-213-4LU, 877-213-4568.
Time
or just text me.
How do you do this?
Maybe it's your fingernails. It's easy, look.
It's that easy.
And send.
Now back to your host, Lou Manfredini and House Smarts Radio.
Time for Just Text Me. You can always text me at 877-2134-LOU. Just don't text and drive.
Don't do that.
Don't do that. How are your donuts this morning?
Oh, real good for the... I'm going to need to do some more arm circles.
Remember, they're not windmills. They're arm, slow arm circles.
I think I need a windmill. I need to get the calorie burn.
You need to swim to the other side of the lake, right? I'm going to Michigan and I'm swimming there. Your arms will be in great shape by the time you get there if you don't drown. How about some text messages?
Okay. You'll like this one. After an overflow of cooking oil on my gas cooktop, the burner is now clogged and will not light. How can we clear this? We were frying the zucchini from Stanley Tucci's Searching Italy TV show.
I know exactly what he's talking about because the fried zucchini... Oh, that's so good. That's so good. If the burners come apart... If the top comes off, we need to get rid of some of that oil on there. And so you probably need some type of, how are we going to do this and not damage the stove? Oh, wait, real quick. Before we do the just text me, you know the lady that called about the clear? I was thinking about this, and I knew this company. I wasn't sure. So young lady that was calling about the rust stop that was clear. There's a company that's called Ames, and they make a product you've heard me talk about called Blue Max, which is this, they make a bunch of different products, but they do in fact make a clear seal, which is an electrometric product that you can use on concrete, brick, stucco, stone, metal, even siding. It goes on milky white, you can brush it. And it's like $60 for a gallon. So you'll have plenty of this to be able to brush on and not mix in the air. And you'll have it for years. And it's an acrylic polymer. So that's nice. It's easy for water cleanup. And you can find it probably at a big box store. Ames is the company. It's called Clear Seal. And it's about $60 for a gallon. So that should work for you as well. Okay, the cooking oil. Let's just go back to the cooking oil.
Way to bring it back.
Let's try something like a simple degreaser, like crud cutter. Spray it on the burner. Use a wire, a brass stripping brush to get into the holes and whatnot. And you got to clean it all out. And the other thing too, with the once you wipe that all away. If you may have to try and light the burner with a lighter, not just the striker, because the striker could be covered in the oil as well. And if you can get the burners to light and then slowly burn away what's left, that should work. So give that a try. Crud cutter on the burner holes, light it with a match or a lighter, and you should be good.
Got it. Next, can carpeting be moved from one room to another, a smaller one, without ruining it?
If it's wall-to-wall carpeting, it can be. It needs to be resized and recut and restretched. And so the question becomes, if you're going to hire a carpeting installer to do all that, it's just going to be the labor to do that. Once it gets rolled up, it's certainly durable enough to do that. It's just a question of cost. And by the time, you should probably... The padding, more than likely, you're going to have to put new padding down because that they glue that around the perimeter typically, and scraping that up just won't work. So new padding will have to go down, new tackless, and then they can recut and restretch it. It all depends on if that costs more than going to a carpet store and saying, I want to do this bedroom in this, and it might be cheaper to go that route.
And lastly, hi Lou, the water in my shower doesn't get hot, only barely lukewarm, even when the knob is all the way to the hot, or to the H. Is there something I can do before calling a plumber?
If the water is hot out of the vanity, meaning that if you turn the vanity on and it's super hot, then it could be the fact that that valve has an anti-scald feature in it, which most valves in the last 30 years all have that, and that... If it's a single, it didn't say in the text message if it's a single knob, did it? No, no. So, but it, my guess is it's a single knob. And if you take the knob off carefully, there may be an adjustment there, like almost like gears, that will allow you to turn the water hotter and then not have it be, you know, the colder, and it'll help the mix better. So it probably has everything to do with the anti-scald that needs to be fixed. That's just text me for today, 877-213-4LOU. Let's get back to your phone calls and speak with Bob, who's in Hebron. Hey, Bob, you're on House Smarts Radio. Good morning.
Good morning, Lou. My question is, we have a lake home in Wisconsin, and our house is only about maybe 10 to 12 feet away from the next house. And both houses are two stories. And we both, my neighbor and myself, have large air conditioners about halfway between the front of the house and the back of the house. And it's kind of like an echo tunnel in the summer when they're running. And we have a deck, or a patio on the front of the house, and it's awful noisy. What is the most effective way to cut down that noise, either doing something at the front of the house by the patio, or something with the air conditioners in between the two houses?
What's the age of the compressor?
They're both. The compressor on our house is only 10 years old, and the neighbor has two large units, and they're only about 2 years old.
Okay. And are either one, are they both around the same? And the reason I say this is that, you know, the condensing units, if you have a higher SEER rating, right, meaning they're more efficient units, they're bigger and they're quieter.
Yeah.
They're quieter, but is yours not really any louder than the neighbor?
No, they're about the same.
Okay.
But he has two of them that rest on the ground. Ours is actually on a bracket up on the side of the house.
How far up off the ground?
I would say probably 8 feet.
Oh.
But we don't hear ours as much as we hear his.
And do you get along with this neighbor?
Yes. Uh-huh. But he said he had talked to his HVAC expert, the one that installed the air conditioners, and claimed there's really nothing you can do to quiet the units outside because they need airflow circulating around the unit.
Right. I mean, if you put a three-sided fence around it, let's say that you, like, just for the sake of argument, it's a vinyl fence, and you're not going to cap it, but you're going to surround it like a U, right? Since you said they're on the ground, you're going to want like 3 feet on each side that you're going to wrap in the fence, right? So that airflow, it can draw air in. And you would almost, what would be even perfect is that fence wouldn't go all the way to the ground, but it would be up a couple of inches. So I could pull air in from the bottom. You know, it would actually shield the unit, keep it a little cooler if sun hits it, although it doesn't sound like it may. But then the top would be open as well. Now, that will quiet it down from a standpoint of the sound hitting it. And it would probably be the easiest way to, you know, bring them down a little bit quietness-wise. Now, with your 8 foot up in the air, you know, I don't know how you do that one. The fencing to surround it would be even higher, right? The other thing that you could do, if you wanted to make it more natural, you could put some arborvitae around it. Same thing, where you make a wall of arborvitae, just something to block a little bit of the noise. You know, sometimes condensing units can be noisy. Some are not. Years ago, I lived next to a neighbor, had one that just grinded like, you know, it was in a factory, and it was just old. And it was, you know, obviously, if you get along with the neighbor and it's like, wow, you know, this would really be helpful for all of us, you may want to think about trying with a fence thing. You could temporarily see if this got better by doing something like, let's say you go buy 3 sheets of plywood, you know, or maybe somebody's got a, you know, extra sheet, and just build that U as a test. Say, hey, we're just going to tack this up temporarily. Oh, wow, that's a lot better. You know what I mean? Before you invest in putting up a fencing around it to see if that works to quiet things down.
Well, if nothing was done around the units themselves, what could we do at our patio at the front of the house that might deaden the sound?
Could you put a fence there? Like even an L shape, just like an L shape or something, or like a panel to just reflect some of the sound?
Yeah, we actually thought about doing that this summer, and I think we are going to do that. And maybe perhaps put some bushes on the side of it, too, so that between two of those elements, the wall on the, or the panel and some bushes, that might take care of it, too. I just was wondering if that's going to be anywhere near as effective as putting something around the units, or obviously if we did both, that would be the ultimate cure, or it'd be as good as it would get, I guess.
Right. So I think that what I would do is try something as a test. That same plywood idea, you know, would be take a sheet of plywood and put it up by your front patio and see if that quiets things down. Oh, yeah, that is a little bit quieter or whatever. Then, with a little bit of more certainty, you could say, well, if we did some arborvitae here, that would block a little of the sound. Or we could put one little section of fence that creates a little bit of a shield. All you need is some break point for the sound that's going to travel there and bounce off of there to make a difference. I mean, and certainly the HVAC people are correct. Those air... You know, those condensing units need airflow, so you don't want to restrict it. So if your neighbor was going to put a fence around it, it needs to be at least 3 feet on all sides so that you don't cause any issues with efficiency there. And, you know, that might be the way to go to try and quiet things down for the patio.
Okay. Well, thank you very much. I sure appreciate the help.
You got it. I appreciate you calling this morning. Thank you so much. Hey, it's been 51 years since Ditch Witch Midwest opened its doors. One thing has never changed. Oh, by the way, when I was all about the Ditch Witch, you know, they have multiple locations. Do you know where one of their locations is?
Where?
Kaukauna, Wisconsin.
Well, ironically, my father-in-law texted me as soon as you were given the whole spiel on the swag and said, I love a good Ditch Witch hoodie.
Right? See? Your father-in-law is smart, and I bet he's been to Kaukauna, because why do we know Kaukauna, Wisconsin? What's from there? Come on. Oh, and I'm from Wisconsin. Kaukauna cheese, like the spreadable
cheese. You didn't give me time to answer.
I did. You put your hands up. Kaukauna, you know, like in the little thing
where you
put the crackers
on? The almond
on?
Swiss?
Oh, my gosh.
Port wine? Yeah.
If I'm the Ditch Witch people in Midwest and I'm in Kaukauna, Wisconsin selling a Ditch Witch, I'm like, here's your Ditch Witch for $50,000 because they're expensive. They're big machines. Mm-hmm. And here's a case of Kaukauna cheese.
You know what the secret is to that Kaukauna cheese? Real
it's
quick,
delicious.
You put it in the microwave and just let it melt a little, and then it's like a fondue.
We'll send that hat out to Randy, who's in Rockford. Hey, Randy, good morning.
Good morning. I need your thoughts on a request by a neighbor who has an older concrete pool that's in great shape, but he's asking me to think about painting it for him this summer, and I'm a little leery about what may be involved with that or if that's something I should suggest a more professional person should do.
Well, I mean, it's like anything, right? It's all about the prep work. So if you remove all that water from the pool, there's water in it now, right?
No, he drained it last fall.
Oh, okay.
He was thinking about getting it done before winter and was told, no, that's not a good idea. So
no.
It's been
right
sitting empty since fall.
Actually, so, I mean, if you'd have to scrape it all down and get it all patched up and cleaned, and then you would use, specific coatings designed for pools, right? And you roll, I mean,
right.
It really is just a paint job, but it's all in the prep work. And, you know, the other risk with a swimming pool is, you know, when you leave that without water, that pool walls are under stress right now because, you know, the ground is pushing at it. So hopefully it's maintained its integrity. But, you know, if you're going to do it, you got to buy the right products. And that's not just something you pick up at the hardware store. You got to go to a pool place to get the right. It's almost like a polymer coating that goes on there. And again, it's a lot of prep work to get it all done. And, you know, you could certainly do it if you're a nice neighbor, but professionally they would make sure that it's done right.
Yeah, that's the concern, because I wouldn't want it to.
Have you ever painted a pool? Have you ever painted the inside of a pool?
No, no.
I think I'd bow out.
Never. Oh, okay. Well, that's what I kind of had a feeling, but I thought, well, I'd find out what your thoughts were, and that's what I wanted to hear, I think.
Yeah, I just don't. I think it's one of those things that comes back and says, oh, well, hey, look, Randy, look over here. It all peeled up, and then you're going to feel terrible.
Yeah, yeah.
Right?
Shouldn't do it for friends, probably. So.
Right, right. Well, I have a rule about working for family and friends. If you're doing it for free, that's one thing, but, you know, and it sounds like you would be doing it anyway, but whenever you get done that, the last thing you want to do is create any rifts there between you and the neighbor. Thanks so much for the phone call.
For more House Smarts Radio, visit HouseSmartsTV.com to find hundreds of DIY videos and feature segments right at your fingertips. That's HouseSmartsTV.com.